Greetings again, everyone. Open your Bible now to Proverbs chapter 3. Be sure to take out your outline so you can follow along and take note. Proverbs chapter 3. As we continue to work our way through this morning, we learned that we went from the first part of the chapter from several exhortations to pursue and seek and not to desire anything more than wisdom. Then when you get to the passage that we dealt with this morning and the fact that it turned to principles and truths and how we ought to live, and certainly in our interaction with people. And it would basically on four do not commands. Tonight we'll be learning about the fifth one that takes it from verse 31 to the end of the chapter. So follow along as I read, beginning in verse 31 to verse 35. Do not envy the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. Shall we pray? Father, be with us tonight. We always are struggling with the prosperity of the wicked. Too often, secretly within our hearts, we envy and desire and become jealous of their prosperity, their blessing, their influence. Sometimes they come across very attractive. But these are worldly things. And you make it abundantly clear how we should steer away from people like this who have charted their life contrary to you. That's why they are called perverse. They are twisted people. Rather than following the straight path, they take the crooked path. Rather than following your will, they choose to follow their own. And we need to be reminded what Proverbs said, not once but twice. They're the way that seems right unto a man, but the end are the ways of death. So Lord, we have to be careful not to lean to our own understanding, but in all our ways to acknowledge you, to trust you in what your word said, to live by faith and live our lives accordingly. Oh, Father, help us to desire to pursue wisdom, and wisdom rooted in the fear of the Lord and in knowledge of the holy. Oh, Father, help us to take these truths and take them seriously. Help us not to be swayed, provoked to jealousy, when we see the world planting his own. You have made it clear the kind of people we should love and desire to be like. They're recorded in your word. They're in our midst. But Lord, we should always seek those who take the path of wisdom, which is nothing more than in the path that guided by the word of God. So Lord, please be with us tonight in Christ's name. Amen. I simply broke down these five verses in 2 points. The first point is, do not envy the wicked. Look at verse 31 and 32 again. Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. The first thing we need to see in this passage of these five verses is the contrast in these five verses between the wicked and the just, between the righteous and the unrighteous. Here, the oppressor is seen not only as the oppressor, but he is a person who is perverse, a person who is wicked, a person who is scornful, and a person who is called a fool in God's estimation. And yet, on the flip side, the upright are seen as just, humble, and wise. You need to notice that, and so this whole thing is about not desiring or envying or being jealous of the wicked, the oppressor, or whatever word you want to put in there in a way of a synonym. We should not go there. Matthew Henry said this, men are to be judged as if they stand with God and as he judges them, not as they stand in the eyes of the world. The world will always have a different value system than what God says. And so it's important that we understand what he is saying here. In essence, he's kind of saying what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where it goes like this in verses 14 through 17. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship had righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion had light with darkness? And what accord had Christ with Belial? Or what part had a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement had the temple of God with idols? You can see the comparison. For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Here, Paul is talking about joining and uniting and coming together and being in the allegiance with the wicked, with the worldly, with the world, with Satan's system. Solomon, on the other hand, had taken it in a deeper level. What Paul was talking about is, in the practical sense, having an unequal union or allegiance with those that we really spiritually have nothing in common with. We have a different value system. We have a different set of principles. We have a different set of rules to govern our lives. Here Solomon had taken it one step further to the issue of the heart, where we desire. He said here, do not envy the oppressor. That is down deep into the soul. The word envy is also translated the word to be jealous for. When you're jealous, you wish you could be like them, to be in their situation, to have what they have. I'm jealous because of what they have or where they are. God is saying, don't go there. Solomon had taken it to the issue of the heart that our desires should not be to envy or desire them or their position or their lifestyle. We all have to be careful with that. Proverbs 23:17 said this, do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. That is a challenge we need to do every day. Every day we walk out there, there's that temptation to maybe to have it a little what appeared to be better or easier, that we get envious or jealous of, instead of remaining on task, fearing the Lord from the time we wake up until we go to bed every day. Now notice it said, do not envy the oppressor. The oppressor is the person who uses violence to get what they want. They are coercive. They bend people against their will to get what they want. The Bible speaks a lot about people who use force to get what they want. Proverbs 24, verse 1, do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them. Psalm 37, verse 1, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Let's not forget that great psalm, Psalm 37 that I just quoted. It also said in verses 7 through 9 in Psalm 37, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. You have to believe that by faith and live accordingly. Do not allow your heart to get carried away to want to envy and be jealous of what they have in their prosperity and their blessing. Don't get to the point where you get frustrated and agitated and I don't understand why they should be blessed. And we know at the end of that psalm, it said that when I entered the temple, I saw their end, meaning judgment. The best they'll ever have is now. The best we'll ever have is later when we are with our Lord. He said, not only don't envy them, do not choose their ways. Do not want to imitate them, emulate them, be part of. Don't try to follow their step to prosperity or blessing. Don't go there. You need to cut yourself off from that desire. The world's real good. Don't you want to be like so-and-so, like so-and-so? No. I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to be a person who is considered wise, who fears the Lord. And I want to be a God-fearing person that lives a life that's regulated by the Word of God. Because that and that alone is true blessedness. Not only in this life, but in the afterlife. So we see here, choose none of their way. Don't decide or select their way of life. That's what the idea is. Don't make decisions or choices to follow and imitate. Don't be reading their success stories. Matthew Henry said that though he is rich, listen carefully, though he is rich and great, though he lived in ease and pleasure and make all around him to stand in awe of him, yet do not think him a happy man, nor wish to be in his condition. Choose none of his ways. The idea here is not to imitate him or take steps he had taken to enrich himself. So we need to understand, don't get caught up in the here and now. Instant prosperity. Instant wanting to be like them. Look at verse 32. Now we move to what the Lord now uses, a different word. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. Here, the perverse person is the one whose life is twisted from God's purpose and design. When you talk about a person who is perverse, who is a pervert, they are people who are taking God's design and purpose of something and twisting it for their own end. That totally unrecognizable what the Word of God has to say. They will take anything that God said, this is the way you should do it, and they would twist it to go a different way. They would pervert it to go another way, which is the opposite of God's design. Stay away from people who want to go counter to the Word of God, counter to the way of God. This is the person who chooses to depart and turn aside from God's ways. They have made a conscientious decision to say no to God, I want this. We already learned that in the first two chapters, or I should say two and a half, because it said it in the first part of chapter 3 as well. We clearly saw the judgment of those who refused and ignored and dismissed and despised God's wisdom. They live, move, and have their being going away from the Lord. They are always going counter to where the Lord will happen to be. That's why church means nothing, the Bible means nothing, morality means nothing, ethic means nothing, integrity means nothing. Having a good relationship with people, no matter who they are, means nothing. Having compassion on those who are on the down and out means nothing, which is what we dealt with this morning. Means nothing to them. Why? Because they are perverted people. They live their life twisted away from God's purpose and design. And these people are seen as an abomination to the Lord. They are repulsive to Him. At every turn when God says, do this, do that, they say, no, whatever. They despise God's wisdom and His word and His ways. Therefore, they have made themselves an abomination to God. They are type of people who lead the path of the straight and narrow to the way of crookedness. One of the words that used often when you do a word study of the word pervert is they take the crooked path rather than the straight path. They take the path, they are kind of following their own instincts instead of being driven by the word of the Lord and wisdom. Luke 16:15 says this, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Be careful that you do what people love for you to do, what the masses think is cool. Even in Proverbs, later in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, perversity is in his heart. Notice the word perversity. It's in there. He divided evil continually. He sowed discord. Therefore, his calamity will come suddenly. Suddenly, he shall be broken without remedy. That is a warning. Let you want to say, I will do what I want. I don't think God is really being true and honest here. I'm not going to take seriously what God says here. It's amazing how many religious people want to summarize the Christian life down to maybe two commands, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Maybe they'll expand a little more to the Ten Commandments, but there's a whole host of them that all flow from those ten. Almost every commandment, every moral and ethical commandment in the Bible will touch one of those ten. But they're not interested. They're just interested in the 10 bullet items on the surface. Thank God in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord talked about adultery not simply being the physical act, but a serious heart issue in your lust in your heart. Or anger in your heart can translate, if it goes unchecked, to murder. Wisdom, we have already learned, when we pursue wisdom, let's not forget, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, there are 8 verbs. If we do all of those 8, it would just intent, cry out, seek for her like gold and silver, treasure her, incline your ear anytime you get a chance to hear wisdom. When you do that, and you do it consistently, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord, because the Lord is the one who gives wisdom. And right after that, he said, when it is sweet to the soul, when you have embraced it and it has distilled into your heart and life, it will do 2 major things. It's going to protect you from 2 people who are going to constantly get you derailed from the right path. That is evil men and sexual women. Clearly, in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 12 through 15, it said this, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the path of uprightness. You see the idea here? There's uprightness, and they laugh at it. to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, who are devious in their path. That was all saying after we preface it in the first part of chapter 2. When you do this, it will deliver you from these kind of people. If you heed and listen for wisdom. If you don't, you're going to get taken unaware and you'll be taken and not even realize what's happened. And you'll follow them and you will not realize that you'll follow them sometimes almost before when it's too late. We were even exhorted earlier in chapter 3 to never let wisdom depart from our sight. Verse 21 of Proverbs 3. My son, let them not depart from your eye. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Here lies the perverse person. They have done that. They have departed from it. They have dismissed it. But then he said something rather sweet. Again, look at verse 32. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord. Notice the next word. But his secret counsel is with the upright. He gives them insight and wisdom in how to live life that will be a blessing, that will bear fruit and blessedness. Psalm 25:14 says it this way, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. So we need to understand, beloved, that you don't need to follow the perverse person. They're an abomination. They are loathsome to the Lord. They are disgusting. One time I heard that this word had kind of a olfactory aspect and it had to do with the sense of smell. An abomination is smelling something that is absolutely or horrendous that you massively recoil to it. That's the picture of the word abomination. It's taking a whiff of something and being absolutely a loathsome smell. This is what God is saying to this person, about this person. But his secret, his counsel, his wisdom, his advice, his guidance to those who are upright, not perverse, people who follow the right path. Bring it to the second point, the final three verses. Let's read those and then we'll break those down. Verse 33, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. First and foremost, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked. Why would you follow people and envy people and be jealous of people who had the curse on them? That's the picture he's saying here. And he's not trying to do it in a way of a hyperbolic way. He is making a simple, truthful fact. They have my curse on them. Why would you want to be jealous and emulate them and choose their way? Why would you go there? I want you to notice that the wicked never suffers alone. Wicked people usually impact their family. Notice, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, not just the wicked. It happened by way of the wicked, by their example, teach their children to be wicked. They make decisions of the household for wickedness, things that are contrary to God, and maybe innocent in their mind. They don't think anything wrong with it, but God has made it clear what they ought to do and what they ought not to do. Proverbs 21:12. The righteous God widely considers the house of the wicked, overthrowing the wicked for their wickedness. God takes seriousness of every home, but he really does, in this verse, observe and notice the wickedness in the home to the wicked. They're going to be overthrown. They got the curse on them. Even throughout the book of Moses, though it directly deals with and addresses Israel as a nation, the principles are very much intact in the New Testament sense. Leviticus 26, 14 through 16. Listen carefully. But if you do not obey me and do not observe all my commandments, and if you despise my statutes, and if your soul abhors my judgment, so that you do not perform all my commandments, but break my covenant, I will do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you, weight and disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and shall sow your seed, you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. When you abandon the Lord, you're going to get the fruit of that abandonment. You abandon him, he will abandon you. We saw that in chapter 1. Let's go there for by way of reminder. Proverbs chapter 1. In verse 20, it said, wisdom calls out loud, raises her voice, cries out, and speaks her words. Verse 22, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Scorners delight in their scorning, fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I pour out my spirit on you. I will make my word known to you. But notice what happened. Because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand, no one regarded. Because you disdain all my counsel with none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you. Then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, and would have none of my counsel, and despise my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way, and be filled to the full with their own fancy. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, the complacency of fools will destroy them. But there's the promise in verse 33. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely, and will be secure without the fear of evil. We need to understand that God does judge sin. And when he makes available and extends his wisdom, and it's everywhere for everyone to grasp it, it's not for the special elite, not for those who happen to have high IQ, it's for anybody who longs to follow the right path. It's available to anyone and everyone. We saw that in the front end of first chapter 1. Wisdom's crying out everywhere. Matthew Henry said this regarding those who have the curse of the Lord. There it leaneth in their soul. When the body is fed to the full, the curse may work silently and slowly. Don't deceive yourself to think, well, man, it seems like nothing's happening to them. Seems like nothing's going wrong. Seems like they're having a happy life. Seems like all is well. Don't deceive yourself in thinking that. Know that sin will not be not undealt with. It will be dealt with in God's timing. By faith, you stay away from it. By faith, don't allow your heart to envy and be jealous of it. By faith, don't choose their way of life. You choose God's way. Even later on in Deuteronomy 28, verse 15 through 20, it says this, listen carefully. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes which I command you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall be you in the city. Cursed shall be you in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will stand on you, cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. Clearly, and it doesn't stop there. The curse goes on for another 25 verses. I just spared you of all the nuances. He's making it abundantly clear that I will curse you if you reject me. What is interesting, I started in the verse 15, the first part of the chapter, with all the blessings. In fact, they were almost word for word in at least the first half on the curses. The only difference is the word cursed was replaced with the word blessed. Blessed are you when you come in. Blessed are you when you go out. Blessed will you be body. Blessed when you obey and heed my word. Let's not forget God in his infinite wisdom when he opened up the book of Psalms with Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates therein day and night. What will happen? That person who rejected the wisdom, counsel, and advice of the wicked and chooses to follow according to the thing written in the word shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So these people are people who are cursed of God. Verse 34, surely he, the Lord, scorns the scornful, but give grace to the humble. Here he's talking about he's going to mock and hold in derision those who dare to challenge God and thinking they're on the right path. We see that clearly displayed in Psalm chapter 2. Verses 1 through 4. Why do the nation rage and the people plot a vain thing? Kings of the earth set themselves, rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let it break their bonds in pieces, cast away their cord from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. The word derision is mockery, scorning. He will scorn them for their scorning of him. Their scorning of him will do nothing to him. His scorning of them will undo them. Clearly, why would you want to follow a people, be envious and desirous of a people that God is one day using them as a model of derision and mockery? This is how you not do it. This is the fool. This is the scorner. Don't go there. You want to live a life of wisdom? Take the wide path. Don't envy them that God scorns and hold them in derision. And then he had the promise to those who follow him but do it in the right way. He said that, but give grace to the humble. Now we know how that fleshes out in the New Testament. We have it in Peter. We have it James, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. The proud, one of the distinctive marks of a scorner is they're proud, haughty, and arrogant. We saw that in Proverbs. Clearly, beloved, we are to be humble, to be lowly and meek before the Lord, never to think ourselves more highly than we ought. We must be driven and guided by his word. knowing that His word with certainty will lead it in the right path, will never lead it away from Him. So we have, don't envy the oppressor, don't choose his ways. Why? Because he is an abomination to the Lord. Why? Because he had cursed. Why? Because he had mocked and scorned at a bad example to follow. Lastly, verse 35. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. First of all, he reversed the order. He showed the blessing of the righteous. In this case, he called them wise. This is the person who had taken knowledge and applied it for the glory of God and for the good of others. This is the word wisdom, is applied knowledge. Knowledge and wisdom are two different things. Knowledge is knowledge, that data and that information. Clearly, that's what it teaches in the scripture. Wisdom is the ability to take the right knowledge and apply it rightly for the right end. That's why it's called skillful living. It also uses the word being prudent. And in the end, a wise person is one who fears the Lord. You cannot be an immoral, ungodly, unjust person and be wise in the eyes of the Lord. It is an absolute oxymoron. It doesn't mix. That's why there is wisdom of this world versus the wisdom of God. The wise, those who choose the path that He has laid out for them, will inherit glory. The end, when they leave this world, it is glorious. It is good. Paul even said the things that we suffered in this life not even going to be compared to the glory that we once will have. That's why in the next chapter of Proverbs 4, it said that exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her wisdom. But fool, on the other hand, is different. Remember we had that front end of our series, the four fools proverb. This is the arrogant, silly fool who just thinks life is a joke and, you know, quit being so serious. Don't take life so serious. Let's just have a good time going through life. Don't take life serious. Don't take sin serious. Don't take anything serious except fun, fun, fun. This is the word fool here. Shame shall be the legacy of fool. People talk a lot about wanting to leave a legacy. You walk away from God. You live a life of perverseness, which means away from Him. You don't have a legacy worth writing about. You leave a legacy of shame. That kind of had disappeared because the world had done everything it can to get rid of stigma of sin and the shame that should come upon people for sin. But it's a very good word, and God is not ashamed to use the word shame. Psalm 132, 18, his enemies, I will clothe with shame. I will clothe them. They will be so completely covered with shame. It's a sad thing that we have, even a lot of Christians don't shame anymore. They just think they're in their mind always doing the right thing, when the word says otherwise. They feel like they're doing the right thing. We didn't ask if you were feeling the right thing. We're asking, are you doing the right thing? Are you following the right path? Feelings will lead you astray. Talk about the legacy of fools. Here's one. Isaiah 65, verse 13 and 14. Therefore said the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart and wail for the grief of spirit. Here's the contrast between the fool and the wise, the obedient and the disobedient. Matthew Henry says this, sinners are fools, for they are not only preparing disgrace for themselves, listen, but at the same time flattering themselves with the prospect of honor. They think in their own mind, man, I am on a good path and a good way. It's going to be a good ending for me. They're only going to find out the sudden reality, and it's going to be too late. Remind you of the story of the rich man and Lazarus? Their final day came together. One with eyes lifted up in torment and hell. The other one in heaven, namely Abraham's bosom, blessedness. Lazarus had a difficult time in life, but he didn't then. He didn't then. He didn't then. And he concluded, Matthew Henry said this, their end will manifest their folly. What a terrible time to find out you lived the life of a fool. It is a terrible thing to go through all of life thinking you're on the right path and everybody patting you on the back, because the world will pat you on the back. And yet God had multiple ways of trying to get your attention, and you disdained it, despised it, didn't listen to it, ignored it, didn't incline to it. I'm on my path. One day you'll wake up and you'll realize you took the wrong path. So back to our original premise found in verse 31. Do not envy the wicked or the oppressor. Why? Because they are an abomination to the Lord. They are the curse of the Lord. He mocked and scorned them. Shame is their legacy. Why would you envy them and be jealous of them and want them? No. Wise people follow, seek, and desire wise people. Why should we envy them? Why should we desire their life? Why be jealous of their lifestyle? May we love the Lord and fear the Lord all the days of our life, and watch the flourishing, the blessedness, and the fruit that come when you look at all the positive. In here, there were four buts, and it was always the contrast and the fruit or the end result of whether you live a life of a fool or wise. For those who want to take the path of wisdom, but his secret counsel is with the upright. But he blesses the home of the just. But he gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory. Oh, may we take God at his word. Amen. Young people, take the path of wisdom. Follow God's path all the days of your life, and you'll never be disappointed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. May we heed it. May we listen to it. May we act upon it. May we respond to it by faith. God, may everyone in this room cry out, God, give me wisdom. Give me a heart to desire, pursue, hunger, and thirst for wisdom. Help me to do everything I can in every moment of every day, longing and desiring wisdom. Do I know how to live a life that is honorable and pleasing to you? To live a life of wisdom is nothing more than taking God's word and applying it to life in all areas. Oh, Father, help us. Be with it, guide it. In these things we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.